day when the Lord shall call your soul away. If you're riding, striving for the right, you shall wear a robe and crown. Watch ye therefore, you know not the day when the Lord shall call your soul away. If you're riding, striving for the right, you shall wear a robe and crown.
I'm gonna wear a 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 crown.
When the trumpet sounds.
When the trumpet sounds.
When the trumpet sounds.
I'm gonna wear a crown.
I'm gonna wear a crown.
I'm gonna wear a crown.
Just as soon as the sun sets,
I am gonna lay down the burden.
Gonna put on
my loving.
Gonna shout to the light.
Sorry,
we shall wear a robe and crown.
Watching, therefore, you know not today when the Lord shall call your soul away. If you're fighting, striving for the right, we shall wear a robe and crown.
I'm gonna wear a crown.
Stand. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Such upbeat. I love that. Love that. God is great, isn't he? Such a beautiful day, beautiful weekend he's given us. Just watching everything just grow and bloom. And even though it gets a little warmer, a little wet sometimes, but God knows what we need. Same way with our lives, doesn't he? God knows where you are right now. He knows every situation that you're facing. He knows those celebrations. He knows those tears. He knows it when we just seem like we're just here. But as we come together in prayer this morning, I just want to thank each and every one of you for your prayers. Thank you for your loyalty, your dedication to God, and for supporting the things that God does. And as we go through and open these prayers this morning, we know there's some needs out there. We know we got those in ICU, those in the hospital right now, those are recovering from surgeries, those that are in need of touch from God. But I'm telling you about a God that I believe in. He is the great I am, the creator of all. He knows everything, even before we even think it, or even before it ever happens. And that's the God we worship. And we go to him in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. You know, I don't know if anybody's told you lately, but when Jesus left, he said, I must go so I can send the Comforter. That Comforter's here, the Holy Ghost. But also Jesus said he's coming back. And that's what we worship this morning. And we just want to stand together in unison. I'm going to ask y'all to join in with me as we pray this morning. You know those, hopefully y'all have seen the text blasts or those messages, even some of your conversations in between you and the people you work with or your neighbors or your family that need prayer this morning. So if you know of a situation or you need prayer yourself, just show by the raising of your hand. You know, God sees each and every one. He knows the depths of our heart. But also as we think about all the blessings and all the miracles and all the things He's carried us through, that's the same God that we're praying to right now. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, we just love You. Lord, we thank You for this beautiful day. We thank You for this opportunity You've given us just to come to You, dear Lord, and just to praise You, and dear Lord, just to lift You up, just to honor You. Dear Lord, You are the great I Am, the Creator of all. And dear Lord, we thank You for Your love and Your mercy and Your grace. Dear Lord, we thank You for our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank You for that precious blood that was shed for each and every one of us. Lord, as we come to You now, dear Lord, You've seen each and every hand that's raised. Lord, You know the depths of our hearts. And dear Lord, they're not just words. I know without a shadow of a doubt, dear Lord, that You know who we are. Lord, we just praise You now, and we're lifting each and every situation into Your hands, Lord. Those that are still in recovery from surgeries, those that are preparing for surgeries, Lord, those that are at home recovering now, dear Lord, we thank You for them. Those in nursing homes, assisted living, Lord, we're asking You to strengthen those that have lost a loved one. And Lord, we know people are going through chemo. They're going through so many different things and situations in their life. Dear Lord, we know there's loss. But you know, there's also personal challenges that come against us. And I ask You to strengthen our families, or strengthen us with our children, our grandchildren. Lord, we're praying now for our vacation Bible school that starts tonight. Lord, we thank You for the opportunity. Dear Lord, I ask You to bless each and every person, each and every situation, dear Lord, each and every song, each and every time that Your name is mentioned, Jesus. And dear Lord, we're thanking You for the opportunity. We're thanking You for each and every ministry that comes forth from this congregation. But dear Lord, we love You. And Lord, as we all stand together, dear Lord, may we be in one mind and one accord. Lord, ready to receive Your word, dear Lord, ready to live the life that You would have us to live, dear Lord, ready to give our all to You. And dear Lord, we just give You all the honor and all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. 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 Let's give Him another hand clap of praise. Praise God. Praise God. I've not had a chance to tell anyone this song, but it's been on my heart this morning, and it's page 177. Are You Washed in the Blood? Everybody knows that song. Let's all just sing together and lift it up to the Lord. But it's something I think that speaks to each and every one of us. And as that word goes forth, and which is just a wonderful question, have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power?
Thank you.
seated if you can. I got a quick testimony real quick as we were singing that. And I don't know about y'all, but when we sing, especially the hymnals that I like to sing here, and I call them the Red Book hymnals. Week before last, I was getting a very lengthy MRI, it seemed like. And this is one of the few times I've had one recently that the music worked. So they put the headphones on me and asked if I wanted any kind of particular songs. I said, "You got any Southern Gospel?" And she said, "Red Book?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." You know, when you're confined in that little tube, it is so hard not to raise your hand and just praise the Lord. It made that thing, I think it was like 45 minutes, something like that. She said I was going to be in there, but it just seemed like it was the hardest thing for me to do. They said, don't move. So I almost had to tell them to quit it. But I just love praising God. I love y'all. Thank you for all that you do. Just praise God, praise God. As you know, I said in announcements earlier this morning, tonight starts Vacation Bible School. It'll be this evening. Kickoff time, and it's a wonderful time. I know we've been in prayer for it, but I'd like to continue to keep in prayer because their souls are going to be touched. Not only for the children, not only for our grandchildren, not only for our neighbor kids, and there's so much activity. I saw they were out giving out flyers, knocking on doors, letting them know about Vacation Bible School, but it's such an important, important time. But you know who gets blessed as much as the kids, as the teachers, and those involved? So we're going to pray for their strength. We're going to pray for them to be rested up and ready to go. I know they'll be decorating it and things ready this afternoon before tonight's service. So be in much prayer for Vacation Bible School, and don't forget to spread the word. Also, July 30th is our homecoming. I was asked to start announcing that. It's a wonderful time. Gosh, just between June and July, they're so busy, so busy, so busy. And we'll have, I don't have any details on it yet, but they'll give it to us. I know it's bring covered dishes. I know bring plenty of food, enough for your family plus more. And we'll just have a great time at service and also in a fellowship on homecoming. So, and also the 28th, I almost forgot this one, I looked down. There is a business meeting on July 28th. Make plans to come. We have to, by bylaws, we have to announce it 3 times before the meeting. So July 28th is a business meeting. Y'all remind me if I forget. Anything else? Any other announcements? All righty, praise God. We're going to go ahead and take up our morning offering then. Thank you. Brother Jim, would you ask the Lord to bless our offering? Yes, Lord.
living proof of what the mercy of God can do. Well, if you knew me then, you'd believe me now. He turned my whole life upside down. He took the old and he made it new. Thank you, Lord. And that's just what the mercy of God can do. Now I'm alive to tell the story, how I've overcome. It's His goodness and mercy and the power of the blood. I'm so glad that my freedom wasn't based on what I've done, but His goodness and mercy and the power of the love. And I thought I deserved, oh, to be six feet beneath the earth. For all the things I've done, the things I've said, the choices made.
It's His
His goodness and His mercy and the power of His blood.
I just want to say before we sing this song that someone needs to know this morning that the mercy of God is sufficient for you. He died on the cross for us. No matter what we've done, He's forgiving. Amen. All we have to do is reach out to Him. And when I walked in this morning, Sister Penny said, "You have a song? You think of something?" And I didn't want to say it, but Brother Keith, this song was like on my heart this morning. And then when I got up here, I said, "Well, what did y'all decide?" And she said, "Sister Jennifer said, what mercy did for me." So somebody needs to hear this morning that God's mercy is sufficient. Amen.
Thank you.
your mercy did for me. Your mercy did for me. And every morning, mercy will restore me. I will proclaim. Even if the world may fall before me, your mercy did for me. That's what your mercy did for me. That's what your mercy did for me.
Amen. That's what his mercy did for me. How about you this morning? Aren't you thankful that mercy stepped in? Aren't you glad that you're not where you used to be?
Hallelujah.
We're not where we're going to be, but we're not where we used to be either. Amen?
Amen?
We got a better place to go because of the mercy and the grace of our Lord and Savior. Amen. Sister Sharon, prayer this morning. Lord, in the name of God, bless her, Lord. God, honor her faith right now. God, reach down, Lord, with your mercy, your grace, your abundant love. God, in your mighty healing power, touch her, restore her, heal and make her whole in the name of Jesus. Right now, we declare it done, Lord. In Jesus' name, we pray.
I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. You unravel me with a melody, you surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemy, till all my fears are gone.
Child of God.
Amen. Amen. If you're a child of God this morning, give him praise. Hallelujah. If you're a child of God, you have received power.
Hallelujah.
I said, if you're a child of God, you have received power.
Oh, yeah.
Say it with me, fear. Fear, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Now give him praise. Hallelujah. Glory to God. My. Woo. We have such an unlimited amount of power if we have faith to use it, because God has instilled us with that Holy Ghost power. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Go with us to the book of St. Luke in the 19th chapter. I'm going to focus on verse number 9 and verse number 10. I may backtrack just a little bit, but that's the two verses that I want to take for my text this morning. Again, from the book of St. Luke, chapter number 19, verses 9 and 10. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house. For as much as he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. For the Son of Man is come to seek. Everybody say that word with me. Seek and to save. Save. Say that with me. Save that which was lost. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, God, we're so dependent on you, Lord, and we're so thankful, God, that you're there. God, I pray today, Lord, that you would just fill this house. God, fill this sanctuary with your Shekinah power. God, I pray that you would see to each and every need this morning, every sickness, every affliction, God. Lord, is under the blood of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray right now, God, that you would anoint these lips of clay. God, anoint this vessel. Speak to us this morning, God, through the Holy Ghost, that you would have us to hear. Help us to be submissive. Help us to be obedient, God, to your word. Help us to be aware of the consequences and the need, Lord, for a mighty revival in this land. And Father, we'll look to you to give you praise, to give you honor, and to give you glory. We ask these blessings in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated this morning. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. The Bible said, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. If we would remember every time that we took a breath, we have an obligation to praise the Lord. Amen. That would be an ongoing praise. Amen. How many is breathing every day? If we're breathing, we need to be glorifying and praising the Lord. I want to bring a message this morning, a simple, old-fashioned Holy Ghost message. To seek and to save. To seek and to save. How many knows we need to be about the business of building the kingdom of God? How many knows we need to be spreading the word that salvation has been paid for? I said there's nothing else owed on it. Nothing else could be added to it. Nothing can certainly be taken away from it. Jesus paid the price on the cross of Calvary, not only for my sins, but each and every person in this world's sins, if they would repent and come to Jesus Christ. Amen. What a great privilege that is. And yet so many are still not taking advantage of the mercy and grace of Jesus Christ. Those that know good and doeth it not, the Bible says to them it is sin. Jesus Christ came to redeem us from that sin. Go back with me, if you would, to verse number 1. Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now, this was just after the healing of the blind man. So there was naturally a multitude that was following Jesus. See what he's going to do next. See what he's going to do next. Amen? Hallelujah. I would give anything if people would come to church to see what God's going to do next. Amen. I don't know. He doesn't let me know ahead of the time. I have no idea what God's going to do when we come together. But I will assure you this. If we'll come together in one mind and one accord, receptive and submissive to the move of God, God will show up and he will bless and he will deliver. He will heal and he will save. So the blind man had just been healed, and here we find Jesus with the multitude. He's entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. Everybody said he was a rank sinner. I have no idea what that means. I don't know if you can be a worse sinner than a regular sinner. But all sin is of the devil. All sin is evil. But there's a song that used to talk about a rank sinner. He was the chief among the publicans. He was rich. Hey, it ain't a sin to be rich. But this man was a sinner. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press because he was little of stature. Everybody say he was a little sinner. Don't matter if you're a big sinner, little sinner, whatever. If you're a sinner, you need to be born again. And he ran before. Everybody say he was a fast sinner. Not only was he a rank sinner and a little sinner, he was a fast sinner. And he ran before the crowd, and he climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, I said, when Jesus came to the place where the sinner was, when Jesus came to the place where the sinner was, come on, get with me now. I said, when Jesus left heaven to come to a place that I was, showing me how much he loves me, how much he cares, where I'm going to spend eternity. And he loved this rank, little, fast sinner. And he went to where he was, seeking. Amen. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up, saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. For today, everybody say today, I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and he came down. The publicans did, the Pharisees, they didn't like that. Said, Jesus is going home with a sinner. And Jesus answered him this way. He said, Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house. For as much as he is also a son of Abraham, he is the son of Abraham. He is of our nationality. He is of the bride of Christ. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that. Everybody say that. Which was lost. That intrigued me. How many know the words mean something? Not only did Jesus come to save them that was lost. Think about it. He came to save that which was lost. I don't think Jesus got messed up on his words. I think he meant exactly what he said when he said he came to save that which was lost. What was lost? In the beginning, God created man. In the beginning, he spoke light into this world. How many believers of creation do we have in the congregation this morning? Give the Lord praise for the beautiful job that he has done. And he created man who was sinless at the time. Completely sinless. Didn't know good from evil. And the Bible tells me that on occasion, God would come down in the cool of the evening and walk and talk with man and woman. Until something happened. The serpent who beguiled Eve said, God doesn't really mean what he says. If anybody, a minister, a pastor, an evangelist, an angel of God comes and tells you that God didn't really mean what he said, don't you believe them. Believe a lie and be damned. And the serpent said, surely you won't die. God just don't want you to know as much as he does. So she partook and she persuaded Adam to partake. Something very precious was lost that day. What was lost? A personal relationship with the creator of heaven and the universe and this earth, the one that formed and fashioned man and breathed into his life, into his breath, and became a living soul. That personal relationship was lost. I don't believe from that time on that God would come down and have a personal relationship with Adam and Eve. He spoke to them. If you've ever known what the presence of God feels like in your life, If you've ever known what the, we used to call them Holy Ghost bumps. I think they changed the name to chill bumps. Let me tell you the difference. Chill bumps is when you're cold. Holy Ghost bumps is when you're hot. When you feel the Spirit of God. Amen. But if you've ever tasted, if you've ever felt, if you've ever experienced the hair raising up on the back of your neck, the mighty power of God moving and operating in a church service, in somebody's life, in a minister, in an evangelist, or whatever, you know that there is power in God and power in His presence. And to lose that personal relationship, God had to speak to Moses from a mountaintop. God had to direct Joseph from the bottom of a pit. God could not dwell in a personal relationship because that was lost in that wonderful so-called Garden of Eden. What else was lost? All of that beautiful garden was gone. Everything that God had created for man and it is, he had to work for it. And woman had to go through the travail of birth because of the enmity, because of the sin of disobedience. And now Jesus is saying, the Son of Man. Listen to the term. Often Jesus is referred to as the Son of God. Here he refers to himself as the Son of Man. Why? Because he is the Son of God and the Son of Man. He's the Son of God because he's the Spirit that the Lord said, I will send a comforter. He's the Son of Man because there had to be a virgin birth. There had to be humanity to bleed and die. God as a spirit could not bleed and could not die. But through the Son of Man, through the man that Jesus was a part of, his natural father, he bled and died on the cross of Calvary. Even though he was God and man, I want to tell you, those nails hurt him. I want to tell you that even though he was God and man, that crown of thorns caused intense pain upon his head. I want to tell you that when he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, that man, that flesh said, you don't have to do this. Call on your God. He'll deliver you. But the Spirit of God that was within him said, no, you can't do that. Because if you do, you'll never restore what was lost. So Jesus said, I come to seek and to save that which was lost. Zacchaeus was rich. He was a publican and a sinner. Why would Jesus choose to go to his house? You know, I hope the church is not guilty of this. We have been so spoiled by the presence of God in our lives. I won't tell you that every day has been a day in paradise, but God has never left me. He's never forsaken me. He's there when I call upon him. But God forbid that we, the church, are so busy preoccupying the time of God that he doesn't have through the vehicle of man to reach out and to seek and to save that which was lost. Let me tell you something, folks. God is not really concerned about the people gathering in the churches today. He's concerned about those that are lying in the street, those that are down at a bar somewhere, those that are down by the highways and the hedges, those that are so strung out in their mind they don't even know who they are. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And if Jesus did that, then his mission should be carried out through the church and through those of us who are saved and those of us who have been delivered. To seek and to save, you may have to go to the sycamore tree. You may have to go to the sinner. Be great if we just opened the doors and invited all sinners to come into the house of God. let me ask you a little, give you a little dose of reality. How many times some of you go to the church before you were saved? When doing things in the world was more important than serving God. Oh, me? Oh, me? Go to church on occasion. Amen? Don't go there, Pastor. Just preach. Just preach. But it wasn't probably on the top of our list. But maybe somebody who was regular. Maybe somebody who was a praying saint of God. Maybe somebody who said, I will let the world go by, but I'll take Jesus. Amen. They prayed for you. Maybe more than that, they called you up on a... I just showed my generation, didn't they? I got called on a dial phone. It's so much easier now. Some of you just got them on speed dial. But some Holy Ghost-filled person, someone who was concerned for my soul, someone who wanted to make sure that when I died, that I had a place of glory to go to, kept calling me, kept praying for me, kept telling me, Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. You know, tell you what the basic problem is today. People don't know they're lost. And you know what? I got to point a finger of accusation at the church world. Because we've tried to water salvation down. We've tried to tell folks, God's a good God, He's a loving God. You just believe in God. You know what? I'll tell you a secret. Satan believes in God. Just believe in God. Just give a verbal commitment. I'm going to get to that in just a minute. But the church world, I think, has caused the people to think that they're not really lost. It takes an experience. Come on, I said it takes an experience. We can declare ourselves saved all day long. But until we're born again, until we've had an experience, until we've opened up our heart's door, let me tell you something about Jesus. He didn't knock my door down. If he had, I'd never had to go in to even come to him. But he kept knocking. Kept knocking. What do you mean, brother? I'm going to tell you how Jesus knocks. You're sitting in church. And you're not a regular attendee. And you're praying for a short service. And you're praying that Sister So-and-so don't get in the aisle and shout this morning. And you're praying that Brother So-and-so don't stand up and give his life's testimony. And please don't sing that song, Washed in the Blood, because that gets everybody excited. And then the Holy Ghost comes down. And you find yourself having to go to the bathroom on a regular basis to get away from the convicting power of the Holy Ghost. And then you come back and hope the service is about ended, and you sit down and you think, oh, Lord, it's just getting started again. And then the preacher, and you would think this preacher was a Mr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. The person that shook your hand and hugged your neck when you come in is now pointing a finger at you and telling you you must be born again. And you feel the chills. You hold to the pew and you say, whatever you do, don't give an altar call. Because I know I need to go, but I'm not ready. Ever been there? I have. And I said, Lord, don't let them sing that song one more time. Don't let them do it. And then he sang it one more time. But I thank God one night. I said, one night in Rockmart, Georgia, I'd had enough. I was tired of going home frightened to death. I was tired of going to bed and sleeping and wondering if I was going to wake up the next morning. And if I did, would it be in heaven or hell? Amen. But you know what? God came through Jesus Christ to seek and to save. Amen. And that night, I got up out of my pew and I made my way down to an altar. And I said, I'm not just going to do this to make me feel good. I want an experience. I want a move of God. I want a transformation. I want the old man buried and the new man to arise. I want to be filled with the Spirit of, I don't care who sees me. I don't care who knows about it. I don't even care how I act. I just know I'm tired of running. And I want to be born again. Jesus said, that's the reason that I came to seek and to save that which was lost. That personal relationship. Let me ask you, do you like the way it is now? Or had you rather go back to when there was a veil that separated us from the presence of Almighty God? I don't want no veil between me and God. Jesus took care of that. How many knows that veil was torn from the top to the bottom, signifying that no man did that? I couldn't tear that veil. But I think a lot of people today would just soon to have a veil. They want to get close to God. They just don't want God in them. Hallelujah. To be born again, you must open up your heart's door. You must invite Jesus Christ to come in and take up his abode. And let me tell you something. He's not going to be satisfied with one little room in your house. He wants access to the whole house. What did he tell Zacchaeus? I must go and abide in your house. See, we think about that, and naturally it was. In a natural sense, he's going to have dinner with him and eat in his house. But spiritually, he said, I'm going to be in you. I want my spirit to be in you. Thank you, Jesus. I said, thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. I'm so glad that he's in this house. I want to tell you something. When he's in this house, he's in my natural house too. When he's in this house, he's in my car. When he's in this house, he's in my house when I'm in the hospital. I said, when he's in this house, he's in my house when I'm in the operating room. When he's in this house, wherever, glory to God, wherever I go, he is in me and with me and will never ever forsake me. Why? Because he came to seek and save that which was lost. Hallelujah. The church mission and every Christian's desire should be to seek and to save those that are lost. Let me tell you, not only does he want a personal relationship, he wants this nation to turn back to God. Do you want this nation to turn back to God? Hallelujah. You know, I think the way that's going to work is probably one soul at a time. Think about it. You reach out and you get a brother saved. That brother goes and reaches out to two and they get saved. And those two go out and reach four more and they get saved. You see where it's headed? You see where it's headed? Amen. Glory to God. Sheep can beget sheep. Amen. Hallelujah. You don't have to listen to this preacher to be saved. It don't hurt my feelings. Amen. I'm just one messenger. Glory to God. But let me tell you something. You better listen to somebody. And you better get in your word and find out. And you better ask yourself. Say, self. Self, say what? Self, are you saved?
I go to church.
I sound like Ernest T. Bass, don't I? A little bit.
I throw a rock at you.
Self, it takes more than going to church.
Self said, I'm as good as the next person.
And you say, self, that's not what counts. My daddy said, it's all right, son, to talk to yourself. Just don't answer yourself. But self,
I don't know if I've had one of them experiences the pastor was talking about. Oh, you're going to be okay. And then self says, well, even if you don't make heaven, you won't be the only one in hell. What consolation is that?
Not only do I not want to go to hell, I don't want none of you to go to hell. I don't want anybody in this world to go to hell. It is not the pleasure, it is not the desire of Jesus Christ for anyone to perish. He came to save and to seek and save all that is lost. Man. Not only did he die for me, but he died for you. And when I think about that, I see the vast wave of humanity today that has that deer in the headlights look when you ask them, are you saved? Born again. You ever have just a overwhelming, I won't call it a vision, but a mental picture, and maybe it's because of something I saw in the news this week or something, but when you see the dirt and the grime and the frail body, the sunken-in cheeks, the withered, wrinkled face, almost looks leathery, wrapped up in what we would burn, but that's what they've got on their back. And you know what? We say, well, they brought it upon themselves. Listen, Jesus came to save, to seek that one also that was lost. Church, we're not going to be able to go out and find perfect people to bring into the congregation. You know why? We're not a perfect congregation. The only thing perfect about us is the Spirit of the Lord that is within us. Amen. Hallelujah. I'll never get to heaven on my merit. Never get to heaven on my goodness. But thank God I invited Jesus in. Thank God I said, fill me every bit of me. Not halfway, not a little bit. I want to be full and overflowing, God. I want to make sure that you're within me every day of my life. Jesus said, I came basically to Zacchaeus' house. Because he had a desire to see me. He had a desire. And he said, I'm going to change my life. I'm going to give back. I'm going to do all these things. And that alone won't get you to heaven. But spiritually, when Jesus went into his house, that's a kind of an analogy of a spiritual transformation. When we say, Jesus, come into this house. Come into this house. Fill me up. Save me. Make me ready. Jesus came to restore or save, basically, that which was lost. St. John chapter 3, verse 1 through 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night. There's a whole story there. You see, some people are a little bit apprehensive about coming to a congregation and coming forward to ask Jesus into their life. I've got news for you. You don't have to get saved at this altar. But you do have to get saved. It could be in the quietness of your home. Amen. Don't just go through a ritual. But you be earnest and you be sincere if you ask Jesus Christ to come into this body. Amen. And let me tell you something else. Don't wait till you think your body's clean before Jesus comes in. Because he'll come in with white gloves. He'll dust out the corners. You see, when we clean it up, we just get the evident. What is evident? You know, the big things. But when we invite Jesus to come in, he does a full cleaning. Amen? So Nicodemus came by night so no one could see him. I'd like to go to church, but I don't want nobody know seeing none of us. Especially one of them Holy Ghost churches. That made me have a flashback. And I wasn't in service.
I had a flashback because I was in second or third grade, and I don't know, it would not be politically correct today, but sometimes in the classroom they would say, how many in here are certain denomination? And hands would raise, and how many is this denomination? A few more hands would raise, and how many this? And three or four, and then the, Eddie, what are you?
I'm Pentecostal.
Say what? Penny, what?
I'm Pentecostal.
Everybody. You know, I found out later, God don't care if I'm Pentecostal or not. He really don't care what denomination I am. He wants to know, have I been born again? He wants to know if he lives in this house. Get away from church names. Get away from that and have an earnest experience with the Lord Jesus Christ, who came to seek and to save. Nicodemus came. And he, the same night, came to Jesus and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. Do you know God? Oh, yeah, I know all about God. You know about Jesus? Yeah, I know about Jesus. Are you born again? Well, that's another story. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And this is what Jesus said. Verily, verily. You know what that means? Listen up, listen up. I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In the words of Red, that's what Jesus said. Jesus said, I come to seek and to save that which was lost. I come to be the propitiation, the mediator between man and God. And all you have to do is repent, be converted, open up your heart's door, and invite Jesus Christ to come into your life. It'll be the best decision you've ever made. Amen. I don't know why people put it off, especially those that know that they need to get this done. You know, if you're waiting on a round to it, you may not have a chance to get that round to it. You know, the very breath that we breathe is on loan. We're one heartbeat away from eternity. Come on, one heartbeat away. And that, you know, we used to think that was just for old folks like me. But you know what? We see young people dying every day. Only hope and pray. My prayer is that they're ready to meet the Lord. Because when you die, that's the way you're going to meet the Lord. Take care of it now. I said, do it now. Do it now while the Spirit of the Lord is urging you, while the Spirit of the Lord is moving in your life. He came for you. He came for me. And that's what he told Zacchaeus. Church, let's quit judging people. God didn't call me to be a judge. I'm not even qualified to be a judge. He called me to be a servant. That's what a minister is, one who attends to the needs of others. Amen. And the needs of others in my spiritual frame of mind is they need to be born again. They need to invite Jesus Christ into their life. While the music comes, would you stand? I know it's Sunday morning. I know that tonight is the Vacation Bible School kickoff. And you may say, this may not be a convenient time. Don't worry about convenience. Don't worry about anything except when you leave this building today, I want you to know assuredly that you are ready to meet the Lord. Not I'll wait till next revival, not I'll wait till next Wednesday night or whatever the case may be. I want you to know and go out that door that you're truly, in your heart and in your mind, you know that you're ready to meet the Lord. Sing whenever you get ready. Every head bowed, every eye closed. This altar is open for you. This altar is open to you if you've never accepted Christ. This altar is open if you're grown cold and weak in your relationship with the Lord. He came to restore that as well. Is there one under the sound of my voice?
Give him your life today.
This could be the day. This could be the major turnaround in your life. Don't leave with an uncertainty in your spirit. Get it taken care of today. Hallelujah. Saints of God, pray. Come on, church, pray. God's moving.
Come unto
God, urging you.
Jesus.
Is he calling you? Please don't put it off. Please don't put it off. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Jesus, let him have his way.
God, all the glory, Jesus Christ, that precious blood. He paid that price. It's already paid. You know, I love the visuals when somebody's saying, here, take it, it's yours. What I need to pay for it. No, take it, it's yours. And that's what Jesus says when he calls on each and every one of us. Praise God. What a wonderful morning. What a powerful, powerful opportunity to see someone just turn their life over to the Lord this morning. Isn't God great? We're going to continue, keep praying for all those, and just let the Lord just take. But anyway, for our service tonight, we just want to talk to you just for a moment. Don't forget about our Vacation Bible School. Those of you that are involved, we know that we're praying for you. Those that are coming, those that are doing all so much, as they kick it off this evening at 6, normal time, it'll be at 6 p.m. this evening. Make plans to come. Let's just rejoice and just keep each and every situation in prayer. And let God just guide and direct. And we just love each and every one of you. Isn't God great? Man. Tell you what. Thank you, Pastor, for obeying the Lord. Praise God. We thank you for His Word. All hearts and minds clear. You know we're still praying with you. Yes, ma'am. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. I love to hear the testimonies, how great God is. And also remember those that are in the hospitals. I know Brother James is still in there, and they were waiting on some other test, and also on his heart. So we just want to ask God, just continue, Brother Greg and all the others that are in need. If I start telling names, I'm going to forget half of them. Yes, brother. You know, as we celebrate and we know that God is so true to each and every one of us in our lives, but also for those that have lost a loved one, those families, and knowing, I can only imagine with the young children and starting looking at things, but most of all as we grieve, but we know that with Jesus Christ, that He will comfort us and comfort that family. We're going to continue to lift them up. Anyone else as we get ready to dismiss? Let's go. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you. Thank you for your word, dear Lord. Thank you for the message that came forth this morning, Lord. May we all be stirred. Lord, may we all just reach out to you, dear Lord. May each and every one of us take an inventory of our life, inventory of our walk with you, Lord. Lord, may we know that you're the most important thing in our lives and most important thing in our families. Lord, we need to pray for our loved ones. Pray for ourselves, dear Lord, as we release it to you. Lord, we thank you, dear Lord, for the salvation this morning that we were able to witness, dear Lord. We thank you for the saving grace. Lord, now for that family that's lost a loved one, dear Lord, we just ask that you'll strengthen that husband and those children, dear Lord, and all that are involved. Lord, we thank you, dear Lord. We just lift you up. We give you all the honor and all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen, amen. Have a wonderful, wonderful day.